RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President of Inter Milan Erick Thohir met President Joko Widodo for President Cup. Minister Bambang Brojonegoro optimistic tax revenue to increase. Timor Leste in preparation and a fourth stage to become ASEAN member country. Now the news in detail. President of Inter Milan Erick Thohir met President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace on Friday. Erick came to discuss the President Cup tournament that will be run by Mahaka Sport. He said that the President Cup tournament will be held in Bali 31st of August. Erick said President Joko Widodo will come to the opening ceremony. There are 16 clubs that will be participants in the President Cup. Erick explained that 13 clubs are from ISL, while 3 other clubs are from the First Division. As the first tournament since the founding of SSC, President Cup will consist of 38 matches. Thus, the 16 clubs will be divided into 4 groups. Besides Bali, the President Cup will also be held in Bandung, Makassar, and Malang. According to Erick, the final match of this tournament will be held in the 10th of October. He added the President Cup requires funds around 40 billion rupiah. The funds will be obtained from the sponsors. Erick explained he will try to avoid funds from the government or state-owned enterprises. From the total funds, each club will also receive operational funds. Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro said that he is optimistic that the tax revenue will increase significantly in the second half of this year. He also believes that the shortfall will not be greater than 120 trillion rupiah. He said on Friday on the previous experience that tax revenue was always higher in the second half than in the first half. Tax revenues will continue to increase in the second half because of the elimination of tax penalties for those who want to pay taxes deficiency in the last 5 years. Payment of the tax deficiency could be done until the end of the year. Minister Bambang added that they don't have to pay now. It can be paid in the end of year and can be repaid. Based on data from the Minister of Finance, tax revenue from 31st of July 2015 only reached 531.114 trillion rupiah, or around 41.04% of the target of 1,294.258 trillion. It included non-oil tax around 503.4 trillion rupiah and oil and gas tax around 31.4 trillion rupiah. So that the government should increase the tax revenue up to 551 trillion rupiah in the second half if the government wants to pursue the target. Since 2011, Timor-Leste has proposed to become a member country of Association Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. However, until now, East Timor has not been accepted as of ASEAN. Head of Mission Unit and State Representative Timor-Leste, João Mendes Gonçalves, said that Timor-Leste is still doing a variety of preparations and efforts to be accepted as a member of ASEAN. Joao hoped at the upcoming ASEAN summit Timor-Leste will have been able to join as a member of ASEAN. Joao Gonsalves also revealed that the main reason why East Timor wants to join the ASEAN.
Timor-Leste is still in the preparation stages, become a member of ASEAN. We are working hard towards that, and we hope that at the next ASEAN Leaders Summit, Timor-Leste may become a member of ASEAN. First, we are, located in Southeast Asia as well. We could have chosen between being a member of ASEAN or a member of the Pacific organizations, but our leaders have decided from the very beginning that we would like to become a member of ASEAN, and so that decision has been made. And of course, for not only for commercial reasons, but also for cultural reasons as well.
According to Gonsalves, as a country located in Southeast Asia, East Timor must choose whether to join the ASEAN or the Pacific Organization. However, Gonsalves said since the beginning Timor-Leste has decided to join ASEAN. The decision was taken not only for commercial reasons but also for cultural reasons. When asked about the role of Indonesia in ASEAN, Gonsalves said that Indonesia has provided a lot of support and assistance to East Timor in its preparation to become a member of ASEAN. Timor-Leste really appreciates the support that has been given by Indonesia. On the eyes of East Timor, Indonesia is more than just a very special friendly relation between countries. Thus, East Timor wants to continue to build a closer friendship ties with Indonesia in the future. August 8 is celebrated as the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Day. Even ASEAN has become a place to unite countries in the region. However, in the context of uniting its society, Indonesia is considered to have the greatest challenge because it is an archipelagic country. So it requires massive connectivity among the communities in the archipelago. It was stated by Director of ASEAN Cooperation at Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Igusti Agung Wesaka Puja, to RRI in Malaysia.
For Indonesia, because Indonesia has the largest population in the ASEAN region, it has the biggest challenge to build unity. It has much greater challenge to build the ASEAN community ownership than the other ASEAN countries, which must smaller communities. That is what we really need to strengthen. Of course, in the context of the connectivity is imperative to build a strong Indonesian economy, because connectivity is a prioritizing project, because Indonesia is an archipelagic country compared to other ASEAN countries, as they are landlocked countries. They can easily build connectivity, but for Indonesia, the biggest homework is to build maritime connectivity.
Igusti Agung Wesaka Puja also said that there are three concepts of physical connectivity, such as building infrastructure, unifying the sea, as the sea is not a separator but as a unifier, which requires physical infrastructure. Secondly, it is institutional connectivity, namely how to harmonize the existing regulation and agreements in ASEAN with the existing regulation in Indonesia to avoid overlapping. Third point is connectivity among communities, including tourism, in which we can develop equal tourism in ASEAN. Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in New York, USA, will hold a street festival as the peak of Indonesian Independence Day commemoration. The details will be reported by our correspondent in New York, Andy Romdoni.
Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in New York will hold a street festival on August 22nd as the peak of Indonesia's 17th Independence Day commemoration. The festival will be themed Journey to Indonesia. Consul Information and Cultural Affairs of Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia, Beni Siahaan, said that the theme is in accordance with Indonesian cultural variety performed during the event. According to Beni, this is the first time for the Indonesian consulate to hold street festival to commemorate Indonesia's Independence Day. There are a lot of things to be performed during the festival, including culinary and cultural performances. Benny said that Indonesian citizens in New York welcome the street festival with a very high interest.
Makanan Indonesia, produk Indonesia, kerajinan Indonesia, kesenian Indonesia, dan tema yang kita ambil adalah
Indonesian culinary, products, handicraft, arts and culture, and the theme is Journey to Indonesia. The concept is to introduce Indonesia from Sabang to Merauke. There will be three segments, namely Sumatra, Java and Bali, as well as East Indonesia. This is the first time we hold the street festival since the establishment of the Indonesian Consulate in 1951. We have never had such event before. That's why Indonesian citizens here are looking forward to it and they show a high interest.
Animonya sangat tinggi.
The street festival as peak of Indonesia's Independence Day commemoration will be held on 5 East 68th Street in front of the Consulate Building. The location, which is nearby the Central Park, is expected to invite tourists in the vicinity. It is aimed at introducing Indonesia's culture to foreigners.
Oleh karena itu juga kami sangat berharap masyarakat dapat menikmati.
We really hope that the people can enjoy the festival, including the people around New York, including tourists visiting the Central Park. We are located nearby the Central Park, which is also one of the biggest tourist destinations. We hope that the event will provide more information about Indonesia to them. Furthermore, Consul Information and Cultural Affairs of Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia, Benny Siahaan, expressed hope that the event will run successfully and become Indonesia's annual event for Indonesian citizens. Andi Ramdhani reporting from New York City, America.
The last item, the Indonesian Consulate General New York is committed to conduct foreign diplomacy through arts and culture. The detail will be delivered by our correspondent in New York, Andi Ramdhani.
The Indonesian Consulate General New York continues to conduct efforts on foreign diplomacy through Indonesian arts and culture. It was conveyed by Consul Information and Cultural Affairs of Indonesian Consulate General New York Benny Siahaan to RRI Friday in Manhattan. According to him, such effort is implemented by introducing Indonesian arts and culture to foreign people in the United States, especially in New York City. Benny said that his office has desire to put Indonesian culture in the mind of every American people to create a better diplomacy between Indonesia and the United States.
Kami sangat berkomitmen supaya kesenian budaya Indonesia itu.
We are fully committed to put our culture on the map within American people's mind. Let us not lose from the Philippines and Malaysia. They are more diligent. Therefore, we provide a free Indonesian language class here in the consulate. We even teach them how to teach Indonesian language. There are nothing free here. That's why we hope the free lesson will invite more interest. It is still not easy, but we keep trying. Even though there are several American people acknowledge Indonesian culture, it's still considered not enough as it still has a lower percentage. Therefore, Benny said that his party needs support from all stakeholders to endorse wider knowledge about Indonesian culture. Benny admitted that the Indonesian Consulate is opening opportunities towards Indonesian artists who intend to perform in New York. According to him, the Indonesian Consulate in New York will facilitate any deployment effort to make Indonesian culture more acknowledgeable among American people. From New York, America, Andi Ramdhani reporting.
That's the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review. I'm Dalat Pani. We begin with Kompas newspaper. The Daily in its editorial writes, "Sowing political party." It was not an elegant drama that has been shown by political parties' lights in seven regions in the implementation of local elections that will be held on December 9, 2015. The bad attitudes of political parties have made the elections postponed. Of the 269 regional local elections that will be held simultaneously, there are seven districts or cities. They are Surabaya, Pacitan, Blitar, Tasikmalaya, Samarinda, Mataram, and North Central Timor, which have only one single candidate pair. While the election laws require the elections are followed by at least two pairs of candidates.
If the election is only followed by one pair of candidates, referring to the rule of the election commission, the election is postponed to the next election, which is planned in February 2017. Had the president to issue a government regulation in lieu of law related to this issue, but after a consultation meeting with relevant institutions, the regulation has not been issued. According to Compass, postponing the election until February 2017 will obviously be detrimental to the voice of the people, harming their own regional development. As by the law, in the seven areas will be assigned acting regional leaders with limited authority, distinct from definitive regional leaders. According to this daily, executing the tax could not validate the local budget. The next press review is from Media Indonesia. The newspaper writes, "Dismantling loading and unloading bureaucracy." The port has a very important and strategic role so that its operation is controlled by the state and supervised by the government. Since it is very important and strategic, as many as 18 government agencies take a role in Tanjung Priok Port in North Jakarta. Tanjung Priok Port is the largest port in the country. Each year, the port serves 18,000 ships, or nearly 70% of all container ships passing to and from Indonesia. The presence of 18 government agencies in Tanjung Priok should provide guidance, facilitate loading and unloading operations. According to Media Indonesia, however, the facts, the containers loading and unloading operations at Tanjung Priok faces severe problems and full of uncertainty. The uncertainty that is now becoming an acute problem in Tanjung Priok, particularly concerning the dwelling time or time needed for loading and unloading goods, which takes a very long time. Related to the dwelling time, the authorities have moved quickly. Jakarta police have identified 5 suspects, ranging from businessmen to officials in the Directorate General of Foreign Trade, Ministry of Commerce, and according to Media Indonesia, the success to fix dwelling time will certainly be an attraction for foreign investors to invest in this country. Now is the time to dismantle the dark alley dwelling time and fix the bureaucracy. We end press review with Koran Sindo. This newspaper writes, "Student Orientation and Value of Nations." An education issue that has been the attention of many during the new school year, which falls every the middle of the year, is student orientation, or MOS. MOS is essentially an activity to welcome the new students in order to know about the new school or its organization. Because this activity is mandatory for new students, most or even all students follow it. Student orientation, or MOS issue, is more interesting when the new students who participate in the event is involved in violence, which makes them sick or even die. According to Sindo, the Indonesian nation is not a nation that puts forward violence, anger, and silliness. This nation carries the value of mutual cooperation, persistence, humility, and patience. According to this daily, the activity of student orientation for new students should reflect 4 issues above, which is the real face of Indonesia. Student orientation which practice violence, anger, and silliness will actually tarnish or even delay the value of the nation. In fact, education is an institution that should actively instill the values of mutual cooperation, persistence, humility, and patience. Well, listener, that was press review.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on August 8, 1945, when Soviet Union declared war with Japan. The Soviet-Japanese War of 1945 within the Second World War began on August 8, 1945, with the Soviet invasion of the Japanese puppet state of Manchukuo. The Soviets and Mongolians terminated Japanese control in Manchukuo, Mengjiang or Inner Mongolia, Northern Korea, Southern Sakhalin, and the Kuril Islands. The rapid defeat of Japan's Kwantung Army helped in the Japanese surrender and the termination of World War II. The next event was in 1967, when the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, was formed. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations is a political and economic organization of 10 Southeast Asian countries. It was formed on August 8, 1967 by Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. Since then, membership has expanded to include Brunei, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar or Burma, and Vietnam. Its aims include accelerating economic growth, social progress, and socio-cultural evolution among its members, protection of regional peace and stability, and opportunities for member countries to resolve differences peacefully. And the last event was in 1988, when the 8888 nationwide popular pro-democracy protest occurred in Myanmar. The 8888 nationwide popular pro-democracy protest, also known as the People Power Uprising, was a series of marches, demonstrations, protests, and riots in Burma, Myanmar. Key events occurred on 8 August 1988, and therefore it is known as the 8888 Uprising. Since 1962, the country had been ruled by the Burma Socialist Program Party regime as a one-party state. Headed by General Nguyen, the catastrophic Burmese way to socialism had turned Burma into one of the world's most impoverished countries. Many firms in the formal sector of the economy were nationalized, and the government combined Soviet-style central planning, although the process was rather ineffective, with Buddhist and superstitious beliefs. The 8888 uprising was started by students in Yangon or Rangoon on August 8, 1988. Student protests spread throughout the country. Hundreds of thousands of okra-robbed monks, children, youngsters, university students, housewives, doctors, and people from all walks of life demonstrated against the regime. The uprising ended on September 18 after a bloody military coup by the State Law and Order Restoration Council, or SLORC. Thousands of deaths have been attributed to the military during the uprising, while authorities in Myanmar put the figure at around 350 people killed. Now the uprising remembered and honored many Burmese. Now the uprising is remembered and honored by many Burmese. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on the government prepares 880 billion rupiahs to anticipate drop. I'm Dalat Pani. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture prepared a budget of 880 billion rupiahs specially to anticipate drops in the agricultural sector as a result of El Nino. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman recently in Jakarta said that since the beginning, his ministry has set aside 2 trillion rupiahs to cope with drought, namely for the improvement of tertiary. But the House of Representatives approved 880 billion rupiahs for drought mitigation of the impact of El Nino. Amran explained, until now, approximately 17,000 hectares of wetland failed to harvest of a total paddy fields in Indonesia, which has reached 9.2 million hectares. The harvest failures happened in West Java, Central Java, and Lampung province. According to Amran, it has to anticipate the drought that started since December 2014, among others by distributing as many as 21,000 units of water pump
two farmers, construction of 1,000 dam or water reservoir, and improvement of tertiary irrigation of 1.3 million hectares. Amran asserted parch land that could be covered by the addition of paddy planting areas from October to March period to reach 400,000 hectares. Amran Sulaiman also urged the Indonesian people, especially farmers, not to worry in the face of drought, as the government continues to make efforts to anticipate the drought. Minister Amran reiterated, from December last year until now, the government has built the tertiary irrigation of 1.3 million hectares. The development of irrigation has given good results. It could reduce crop failure from 35,000 hectares to 17,000 hectares. In addition, the drought area reduced from 250,000 hectares last year to 111,000 hectares in 2015. The Ministry of Agriculture also has distributed agricultural machinery, approximately 40,000 units, from December last year until now, and form a special team in the handling food scarcity, including drought. Related to drought problem, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Sofian Jalil recognized El Nino will affect the national economy that affect the rate of inflation. Therefore, the phenomenon of temperature anomalies will affect food production. However, according to Sofian, the government will make an effort to anticipate the impact of El Nino, one of them with conducting studies with Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman and Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel to determine the magnitude of the effect of El Nino on the food product. Meanwhile, the Governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, said Bank Indonesia, the central bank, has also paid attention to the impact of El Nino since the beginning of the year. According to Agus, his said worries if the impact of El Nino will be the same with the one in 1997, because in 1997, the impact of El Nino disrupted the availability of food and causing inflation. However, according to Agus, if the government has good response, the effects of drought will not make inflation increased. Agus is optimistic. Inflation until the end of the year is in the range of 4 plus minus 1%. Well, listener, that was Focus. Here are several newspaper headlines published in Jakarta today, August 8, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. We begin with Kompas. The newspaper, in its headlines, writes, "The regulation on the acceleration of development will be issued." Indonesian President Joko Widodo will soon issue presidential regulation and presidential instruction to accelerate the development of strategic infrastructure and realization of budget absorption. Both regulations will be issued before the Independence Day of Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Indriyono Susilo in Jakarta on Friday said the two legal products, regulation and instruction, will allow regional heads, governors, regions, and mayors to be more confident in accelerating the absorption of the budget. Meanwhile, Republika newspaper in its headline writes, Jokowi is ready to open the President Cup. Mahaka Group Chief Executive Officer Erick Thohir met with President Joko Widodo to discuss President Cup soccer tournament on Friday. In the meeting, the President promised to open the competition managed by Mahaka Sport. Interviewed after the meeting, Erick said, the President Cup will begin on August 31st in Bali. According to Erick, the President will be present at the opening. He said there are 16 clubs who will participate in the President Cup. Erick explained 13 clubs are from the club that had been playing in the Indonesia Super League, ISL. Three other clubs come from the Premier League Indonesia. We end with the headlines of Media Indonesia. The newspaper, in its headlines, writes, economic team will soon be overhauled. The invitation via short message from the Secretary General of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP, Hasto Kristianto, was accepted by the elite of the Indonesian Great Coalition. It contained an invitation to have dinner with the president in the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday night. There was no previous information that at night the working cabinet reshuffle would be discussed. Apparently, despite the relaxed atmosphere, a theme quite serious talks, namely the Republic of Indonesia economic problems that will lead to the reshuffle of economic ministers. Hasto said the president gives a signal that there will be a reshuffle in the economic field in the near future. Well, listener, that was headlines of several newspapers published in Jakarta on Saturday, August 8, 2015.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President of Inter Milan, Erick Thohir, met President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace on Friday. Erick came to discuss the President Cup tournament that will be run by Mahaka Sport. He said that the President Cup tournament will be held in Bali 31st of August. Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro said that he is optimistic that the tax revenue will increase significantly in the second half of this year. He also believes that the shortfall will not be greater than 120 trillion rupiah. August 8 is celebrated as the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Day. Even ASEAN has become a place to unite countries in the region. However, in the context of uniting its society, Indonesia is considered to have the greatest challenge because it is an archipelagic country. So it requires massive connectivity among the communities in the archipelago. Since 2011, Timor-Leste has proposed to become a member country of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. However, until now, East Timor has not been accepted as of ASEAN. Head of a mission unit and state representative Timor-Leste, Joao Mendes Gonçalves, said that Timor-Leste is still doing a variety of preparations and efforts to be accepted as a member of ASEAN. Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in New York will hold a street festival on August 22nd as the peak of Indonesian 17th Independence Day commemoration. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York continues to conduct efforts on foreign diplomacy through Indonesian art and culture. It was conveyed by Consul Information and Culture First of Indonesian Consulate General at New York, Benny Yepsiaan, to RRI in Manhattan on Friday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons?
6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today's edition will feature Radya Pustaka Museum in Solo in Sarajawa province. So stay tuned. Listener, Solo is not only well-known with its culinary and batik. If you visit Solo, a city in Sarajawa, you can add your knowledge by visiting Radya Pustaka Museum, the oldest museum in Indonesia. This museum was built by KRA Sosro Diningrat IV in the reign of Pakubuwono IX. Previously, the museum was located at Kepatihan or Governor's House. Then, on January 1, 1913, it was moved to Jalan Slamet Riyadi. Before becoming a museum, the building was a residence of a Dutchman, Johannes Boeselaar. Then the house was bought by Sri Susuhunan Pakubuwono and became the new location of the museum. Listener, Radya Pustaka Museum is under Ancient and Tourism Office of the local government, and its status is under Paheman Radya Pustaka Surakarta Foundation, which was established in 1951. Besides that, a famous humanist, Gotik Swan, or known as K.R.T. Harjonagoro, the creator of archaeologic batik motif, also gives big contribution for the museum development. Some historical staff become Radya Pustaka Museum collections, which give value information. Some historical staff become Radya Pustaka Museum collections, which give valuable information. Listener, before entering the building, there is bust of a famous poet in the Pakubuwono VII era, Raden Ngabehi Ranggawarsito, at the yard. He was a humanist of Surakarta Palace and was popular in the 19th century. This statue was inaugurated by former Indonesian President Sukarno in 1953. At the front and the back of this statue, there is a monument which uses Javanese alphabet. At the museum terrace, there is a cannon from VOC period in the 17th and 18th century, while there are also some cannons belonging to Surakarta Palace. Besides that, there are some Hindu-Buddhist statues, among others, Rara Jonggrang statue, Bodhisattva, and Shiva statue. While inside the museum, there is a bust of Sosro Diningrat VI, the founder of Radya Pustaka Museum. Some collections of the museum were state guest gifts, such as porcelains from Napoleon Bonaparte, a set of ancient gamelan, ancient money, and many others. Many students collect their thesis materials from the museum. Some foreign scientists learn Javanese language and culture to write a book about the museum. Listener, Radio Pustaka Museum has various collections such as statues, traditional books, leather puppets, and ancient books. The ancient book collections are, among others, Wulang Rek, written by Pakubuwono IV. This museum also holds various courses such as puppeteer or dalang, and karawitan or Javanese music arts. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Radia Pustaka Museum in Solo, Central Java. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition is on the anniversary of the ASEAN. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, is a geopolitical and economic organization of the countries in the Southeast Asia, which was founded in Bangkok August 8, 1967, based on Bangkok Declaration by Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. The organization aims to boosting economic growth, social progress, and cultural development of its member countries, promoting peace and stability at the regional level, as well as increasing the opportunity to discuss the differences between its members peacefully. On August 8, 2015, ASEAN reached the age of 48 years. Time for all ASEAN countries to come together and organize a meeting. A Minister of Foreign Affairs is often considered as a figure capable of representing his country. That is why, since last July 30th, foreign ministers of Southeast Asian countries have gathered in Malaysia in the Asian Ministerial Meeting, or AMM. In his opening speech, Foreign Minister of Malaysia, Datuk Sri Anifah bin Aman, expressed his hope for the ASEAN community in order to maintain harmony above all differences through ASEAN community.
ASEAN community will bring new opportunities to the people of ASEAN and the broader global community. These include continued peace, stability, and harmony in the region that will allow our people to pursue their dreams and free from threats of danger, bigger, more open, and freer markets for the business community, better health for our peoples, including our children and women, educational opportunities, and a sustainable environment.
ASEAN community will bring you the opportunity to the people of ASEAN and the global community. The few discontinuities include stability and harmony of the region that will allow our people to soon get dreams and free from threats or danger. Better or more open and free market for the business community to our people better count, including our children and women, educational opportunities and sustainable environment. Malaysian Foreign Minister Datuk Sri Anifah bin Aman even expressed his pride as part of ASEAN, which he said is stronger on the economic side.
I can only carry this. Our ASEAN community makes us stronger and more economically secure, more open to trade and outside investment, less vulnerable to global financial volatility. The figures investment in our region reached US$136.2 billion last year. That represents 15.7% year-on-year growth. Last year, trade amounted to US$2.5 trillion, and we are anticipating an even stronger growth rate of 4.9% this year.
The development of the Asian economy is also expected to encourage the purchasing power of people in Southeast Asia. To celebrate the anniversary of the 48th ASEAN, Indonesia's Foreign Ministry has held a design contest of ASEAN batik motif. This is to make Indonesian people more aware of the importance of unity and peace with the countries in ASEAN. Mutual aid and mutual respect among ASEAN nations are the ways to achieve future targets. Well, that was Miscellany with information about the anniversary of ASEAN. Hopefully, the entire ASEAN community can create peace and be an example for other nations in the world. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow with another edition of Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Lovanak Band. Let's listen to a song entitled Lagu Cinta Untukmu or Love Song For You. Lovana Band was established on 14 February 2000 in Padang, West Sumatra. This band was initiated by Andre Abdillah, a guitarist, and formerly consisted of 5 personnel. It has changed personnel for several times, but now the personnel of the band is Yudi, vocalist, Andre, guitarist, Eric, drummer, Ayuni, keyboardist, Irfan, bassist. Lovana is like other bands which began their career from the bottom until participating in some events such as band festival, campus, and as well as opening band and perform in one stage with Indonesian famous musicians. VOI listeners, let's listen to the next songs from Lovana entitled Hanya Untuk Kita or Only For Us.
Biarkan
VOA listeners, you have just listened to a song from Lavana Band entitled Hanya Untuk Kita or Only For Us. This band, which was established in 2000, consists of Bongki from BIP Band, Digo from Drive Band, Kongki Perwira, a composer, and Andre. Lavana itself is not a common name. It means love, taken from a name of a world legacy city in Belgium. Talking about music, Lavana, which comes from Padang City, plays music in Malay genre with British touch. Their target is all elements of society because their music is simple and easy listening. Lavana Band hopes their music will be able to give the Lavana Band hopes their music will be able to give new color in Indonesian music industry. VOI listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs of Lavana Band entitled Maafkan or Forgive Me and Terluka or Hurt. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Maafkan aku karena ku telah melukai hatimu. Tinggalkan aku jika hatimu tak lagi untukku. Tiada hari yang indah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.